Yeah, he's that good. Let's play ball. Welcome in, everybody, to Leading Off right here on Fantasy Pros. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That is Dinger Dan Harris, and it's you. And we're talking all things baseball, just like we do every morning here at Fantasy Pros. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to the show. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, where we are live Monday through Friday every morning, usually 9 a.m., unless Dan has camp, in which case it's more like 9:30. But we're here for you. We're here for the baseball community. You are our baseball community. Dan, it was a fun night of Major League Baseball, the Wander Franco debut, the Max Scherzer strip search. It was amazing. It was fun. It was great theater. And you know me, I like a good story.
This is a Joe Pizzapia type of baseball day. I will give you that. I mean, Wander, dude, this is not how I like to roll. I don't like the prospect to come up and for me to be like, okay, I don't know how high to move this person, because the fact that he homered and he walked again, he's just so polished. I feel differently about him than I do about Kelnick. I really do. Like, I'm willing to just sort of buy high right now with what we saw. And yeah, Scherzer, that was something. I love Max Scherzer. I mean, Romo went a step further, actually dropped the pen, Sergio Romo. So they're getting pretty pissed about all this stuff. But yeah, Scherzer, it's just grit, man. Leave the guy alone. That's all it is.
Yeah, Wander Franco is a special talent. And I know we're going to start there today because, you know, you got to start the ups with Wander Franco.
Sure.
20-year-old guy making his debut. And, you know, what's so great about Wander, and I think the difference between, you know, prospects and then somebody who's really special too, is, you know, there's no comp for him. We were talking about this before the show.
Yeah.
There's no comp for certain guys. Like Shohei Ohtani, there's no comp for him. And I think that's when you look at a player and you go, this is a special guy. You know, the fact that he, you know, makes it look so easy, like you said. He's also a smaller guy, which I think a lot of people are kind of unprepared for. He is not Juan Soto. He's not like a dude that's very, you know, physically big and intimidating, but he is strong. He is a strong young man. He's got a strong lower half of the body too. He's got really good pitch recognition skills, and he's got a very easy swing, very clean path to the baseball. And I told you, I watched a lot of him early on in his career and a lot of footage on him, and the Welsh and I have, you know, talked about him, you know, time and time again. And this is why I've been such a lunatic about this for the last 3 months of when do I get Wander Franco? When do I get Wander Franco? Because I knew when I got him, I was going to get something that was going to be immediate. And it was a fun debut. By the way, fun bit of trivia. I think it's easy, but let's see. Who is the only Ray younger than Wander Franco to make his major league debut?
I don't have it. Who is it?
It is B.J. Upton. Once upon a time. Yeah. 19 years old. Wander Franco, 20 last night. He did go yard. That wasn't the only up, though. Blake Snell at home. The Dodgers fall to the Padres. Listen, yesterday from a DFS perspective, I know that the good chalk of the White Sox was disappointing against Tyler Anderson. I get that. But they were still in a place to win that game. But Dan, Snell at home. Freddy Peralta, Luke Voit, Wander Franco, free squares. I mean, it was a pretty good day if you watch the show. And Cole, amid the inspections, was pretty good. But he did have his lowest spin rate, for those of you who like spin rates, on the fastball, the curveball, and the slider on any start, since 2017. So, I mean, I saw Cole throw the ball 100 miles an hour last night to strike a guy out. So I'm not really worried about Cole. Are you at all? Do you care much about the spin rate? Do you think this might be a little overrated?
Both. Like yesterday, I do
can't
care.
Have both. I don't think
I
do
can,
that.
And I will tell you why. I do care about it in that Gerrit Cole is no longer my number two ranked starter rest of season, as he has been just right there for the whole time, but he's dropped to number three. So that's like a little bit that I am taking into account. I mean, he's got 6 strikeouts in this past game for the one before. That's noticeable. Okay. That is something that happens. He basically admitted that he uses the stuff. So it is something that's affecting him. He's still a brilliant pitcher. He's still one of the best pitchers in baseball. So I'm not going crazy. But yes, I admit that I am going to drop him a tiny bit in my rest of season rankings, a tiny bit in the trade chart that I'm doing, but nothing crazy. And the overrated part is, yes, I do think it's a little overrated. I do think that we are obsessed right now with, oh my God, did you see, Joe? This guy was down 135 RPMs on his curveball when thrown in a full count to the, you know, fourth batter of the game.
And this is why people get nuts. Nuts with baseball because they like, can we just play baseball a little bit once in a while? Can we not analyze every single fart these guys have on the field? I mean, it's crazy. Here's a question. Who would you rather have, you know, besides DeGrom, who would you rather have on your fantasy rotation than Gerrit Cole?
The only person who I am currently moving ahead of him right now is Darvish, because I feel a little more comfortable with Darvish. And if I knew Scherzer would be healthy, I might take Scherzer, but the injury concerns put him back. But again, that's what I'm saying. You can leave Cole at number two. That's fine. But I do think that we are going to see a drop in strikeouts a little bit. And we've got, you know, a guy, Mark, who is making a comment about the fact that he was still throwing over 100 miles an hour, which you also said, Joe. That's absolutely right. But again,
In the seventh inning.
Cole is an incredible pitcher. I'm not dropping him significantly at all in any way, shape, or form. But it's not just about the velocity. Like, right, no offense, but anybody can throw 100 miles an hour if it's straight as an arrow. We always talk about it with Nathan Eovaldi, right? Yeah. It's like, that's great. but you know, a ball that just doesn't have any movement on it whatsoever. So it is something that affects him a little bit and probably a tiny bit more than other pitchers. But that's it. I do like Mayer's comment about Zach Plesac is coming back soon from injury. So he'll probably take the number two spot over Cole as soon as he gets back. But for now, we'll wait. But that's it. Just Darvish, and it's splitting hairs at this point. That's all.
No, I think Darvish is a good candidate. I should have mentioned him. Go cards in the chat about Wander Franco. Small but built like a tank.
That is true, by the way.
You know why I recognize that? Because I'm built the same exact way.
Game,
I'm 5'7",
but I'm built like a tank. That's right.
That's why I like Wander Franco so much.
It is something where if you looked at, that's a great point. If you looked at Franco yesterday, and I saw him like, you know, saying hi to Devers, I believe, before the game started. And it is something where he's like popping out of his jersey. He is his upper body is just Jack, like you, Joe, of course. So I do think the power is there. Let me ask you, Joe, very quickly, because again, this is a Wednesday. Wednesdays are my trade chart days, so that's what we do. Okay. Would you rather have, and he played third, but let's go shortstop. Just figure out where he is in shortstop. Would you rather have rest of season Wander Franco and Peanuts and Cracker Jacks come in? Wander Franco or Carlos Correa rest of season?
Wander Franco.
Wander Franco or Javi Baez?
Wander Franco.
Ooh, Wander Franco or, all right, he's injured right now, so you can take that into account. He's supposed to come back next week, Corey Seager.
This is trickier. I have more respect for Corey Seager than a lot of other people do, but Wander Franco.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Wander Franco or Francisco Lindor?
Lindor.
Okay. All right. This is where that's fine. I think that I don't know whether or not I will agree with all those. I might when all is said and done. I've got to go through it, but yeah, that's what we're talking about right now. It's nuts, but
look,
he's
he's going to have, there's going to be moments of struggle because it's baseball, but I think it's a matter of, you know, we put on can't miss far too often on many prospects, and we need to save it a little bit more. And when we do save it for the right guys, it helps. And I think the difference is also can't miss and sudden impact, like right away impact. There's a difference between those two. People confuse them. Jared Kelenic, I think, is can't miss. I think Jared Kelenic is going to be a really good major league player for a very long time. I don't think he's going to miss at all. But the problem is immediate impact. We've set a standard here where you get a guy like Fernando Tatis Jr. who comes up from day one. I think Wander Franco is more like that player than he is like a Jared Kelenic player, where it's immediate and you see it and you go, wow. And if you picked him up in a keeper league or a dynasty league on the cheap this year, you're going to be very happy for a very long time.
Well, remember, as you're pointing out correctly, that look, one of the greatest players of all time, Mike Trout, really struggled when he came up the first time, really struggled, sat back down, came up, and then figured it out. It happens with the best baseball players. We joked about it with Willie Mays that they stuck with him. Mickey Mantle got set down. Like, this happens with some of the greatest players of all time.
He's got a little edge too. It's a confidence. And the only thing I could pinpoint it, the guy it reminds me of in terms of confidence is Pujols. When Pujols was a 20-something year old kid, there was this weird confidence where you were like, geez, like you shouldn't be as confident as you are. and he has that kind of thing. He wears number 5 too, which is also kind of fun. But that's the kind of thing you need that. I think the players that have that kind of confidence, like Soto, like Pujols, those are the guys that come in and just rock right away because they're not intimidated by the big stage. And look, it's Tampa. He's not playing in Yankee Stadium. He's not playing in, in Boston. He's not going to have the same media attention, media, circus around him. Pujols is in St. Louis where they love everything and they support you no matter what. I mean, different environments also foster better transitions to the big leagues. Let's get to the downs.
Yeah.
The Braves, Max Fried hits the IL with a blister on his index finger. Joe Girardi, ejected after challenging Max Scherzer. And this was, Max Scherzer after the game said, look, I'm using the rosin bag. I'm trying not to lick my fingers because the rosin tastes like crap. And I'm using my head to get sweat to make the rosin, right? Which like we talked about. That's the combination of stuff. And Joe Girardi, I mean, here's the tricky thing. It's Max Scherzer. This is a Hall of Fame pitcher who's been doing it before Spider-Tack was even around. So basically what you're doing here is very dangerous because you're calling Max Scherzer's career a fraud when you do that. You are. And I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. I know that's a big word this early in the morning for people. But I feel like you got to sit back a little bit and go, okay, that's Max Scherzer. And Joe Girardi, of all people, should know a little better. But that being said, is there desperation maybe with the older pitchers to continue to have an edge? So it's a fair point. Where do you lay on this? Because I think this is a fascinating conversation.
I think that there's no way I would have specifically requested that the umpires check Max Scherzer for a third time, just because Scherzer's like tags a little bit in that I feel like if you challenge him, then you're going to get the beast that comes out with it. Now, Girardi basically came out before he did that and said that he wouldn't do it for gamesmanship. Mm-hmm. And he said that, again, you talked about it, Joe, said it was a cool night. He couldn't get the rosin. He didn't want it. So he was going to his head a little bit. And
he was actually doing this a lot.
Right. And Girardi said he found that he'd never seen him do it before. So he wanted him checked. I'm sure it was gamesmanship. What I do think is that this is a dangerous thing if we are going to have managers allowed to just as often as they want, say, check that guy again. You've got to do it like a challenge or something like that. You've got to have some limitation on it. And again, I do think that we're going to see far less of this being used because I do think that when PEDs, if you were like, by the way, every game, we're just going to check you right on the field to see whether or not, and we could check it out if there was a way to do it, to see whether you are on PEDs, PEDs would be far less prevalent in the game. So the fact that they are basically like, hi, just so you know, we're going to check you three times a game.
So you want like on-the-field urine test? Is that No. Some guy running out with a cup right now. Bizarro do it world. Now. Like you just hit a home run, pee in this cup. By the time you get to home plate, you got to take your pants off.
I do think who in their right mind right now is going to use something on the mound? Who?
Someone will because they're not in their right mind. Because the dark, they still get caught with PEDs nowadays still. It's still to this day, guys get suspensions in the minor leagues.
That's fair.
But you're right. There is a sort of public shaming that's going on right now where it's kind of dangerous. It's comical now, but it's going to get real tiresome by week two.
Yeah.
But right now it's comical. It's amusing to me because I have a twisted sense of humor. Alec Manoa banned 5 games for plunking an Orioles hitter. So you're not going to see him for a few starts. Let's get to the rest of the guys. Zach Greinke continues to roll along with the Astros, who just keep winning baseball games. Wade Miley, 6 Ks for him. Miles Straw has 2 home runs in the month of June. He's been a lineup builder kind of guy. He's always very cheap on FanDuel. 3 stolen bases over that month as well, 12 runs scored. I would say this with Miles Straw, a better DFS player, that you could just, like, when he's hot, you can get him because he can, score points in a few different ways for you with the speed. But he does not have a lot of power, so don't get too excited about the power surge. Lucas Giolito, 7 Ks, 2 runs. He was good. It just wasn't good enough and it happened in the game.
Yep.
Ross Stripling and Alcantara were locking horns. What is going on with Ross Stripling in these strikeouts? I am so mad that I dropped this guy back in April. I'm just kicking myself right now because he's been on an excellent run these last few starts, Dan.
I have so many shares of Ross Stripling for no reason whatsoever. No reason at all. It was more like there were most leagues I was dying in pitching. And I was like, he had one good appearance and it wasn't that long ago that he was an impact player. I think the thing with Stripling is people are like, why is he striking out so many guys? He has never been this guy who didn't strike anybody out really until last year when he was striking out 7.3 per nine. Before that, 9.2 per nine. Before that, 10.03 per nine. Like, he is a guy who has decent strikeout stuff. He's not an overpowering pitcher or anything like that, but he is an absolutely fine pitcher. Now, we, again, the two-start look ahead, Mayer and I always talk about that. That's an article we like to look at, which I write, but that you pick up a guy a week before he's scheduled for two starts. These are about as soft as you can get. Stripling needs to be massively rostered, dude. Again,
100%.
I mean, and he's still not. People don't like him because it's Ross Stripling, whatever.
But
whatever,
these are the kind of guys you need right now. You need the hot arm. We ride the wave. You have all these injuries. I mean, geez, if you have anybody in the Cleveland rotation, Ross Stripling, you could have picked up, and he's probably helping you out right now.
And by the way, they need him. Like, Toronto needs you have Nate Pearson again going on the IL in the minors right after looking
good. I hate to
say
it about Pearson, but I'm starting to think this is going to be one of those, like, I always... There's a bin that I have for these guys, and it's called the Todd Van Poppel bin. You might remember Todd Van Poppel from our youth. And if you don't know who that is, go Google Todd Van Poppel.
Yes.
Todd Van Poppel was supposed to be this guy who was going to change the A's rotation, and he was going to be something, and that never happened. Rich Harden is another guy, too. But Rich Harden actually had some moments at the big league level. Todd Van Poppel was the guy that never had the moments at the big league level. You were just waiting and waiting. And he couldn't stay healthy, and then he couldn't get on the field. He couldn't perform well. And then Pearson is starting to feel like the Todd Van Poppel bin is in his future. Jay Full, who he's big peanut and cracker jack. He thinks that the lost season will affect Wander Franco. You might see a slump or adjustment period. Listen, I'm telling you right now, no one's slump proof, but he is not what the normal guy coming up. Every guy that we've been talking about, like, yeah, he's a good player. Yeah, you could trade him. Wander's not that guy. He's not going to be that guy. I'm just telling you right now, he's going to be in your lineup. You're going to set him and forget him for the rest of the season. And he's going to have ups and downs because it's baseball, but I don't see him struggling. I don't see him having that path where he goes 0 for 30 and then gets sent down. It's not happening. Freddy Peralta, 6 shutout innings, 10 Ks against the D-backs. Freddy Peralta. And they screwed him in the beginning of this game, too. Did you see they made him change his glove out?
Yeah.
Because his glove was too light of a color. Oh, my goodness. This is brutal. Charlie Morton, 7 shutout innings, 11 Ks. Look at the Charlie Morton renaissance. Everybody getting rewarded for holding Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
And if you traded and bought him low, Dan Harris was telling everybody, buy low on Charlie Morton. If you listen to Dan Harris, you did well there. We talked about Snell, only 5 innings, but still... 5 innings, shutout innings against the Dodgers. That's what you want. Zach Gallen, 8 Ks. Chris Flexen, 6 Ks. And Mark Canha, 3-for-5. Also, 10-game hit streak for Matt Chapman.
Yes.
Just wanted to note that. He also went yard last night. Matt Chapman starting to turn it around very quietly. This is that window. I think the window is just about shut. Maybe you can kind of peek your head in because somebody's super frustrated. This is your last chance with Matt Chapman to buy in. Dan, are you somebody that would take a shot on acquiring Matt Chapman?
Yeah, I would. He's still striking out a little too much, even when he's in this hot streak. And it's funny, we were talking in Discord when I was talking about making a trade for somebody, and we were debating because my third baseman was Matt Chapman. It was great to sort of discuss it and what we saw. And again, Mayer had just written something about, he writes a great StatCast article about how there was nothing in Chapman's StatCast data that suggested that a turnaround was imminent. But the big thing with him that you had to remember, again, is the fact that he is coming off hip surgery. That's something that we saw with Posey, basically knocked him out for a full year to take him to get him right. I was expecting Chapman to struggle, not this much, but to struggle in the beginning of the season because of the hip surgery. He does look like he is finding himself. You mentioned Mark Canha, though. He's scoring runs. He's third in the league in runs scored. That A's team up and down the lineup, there are RBI opportunities for Chapman almost every time he's up, whether he bats second or whether he bats lower in the lineup. So the RBI, as long as he can just cut down on the strikeouts a little bit, the RBI, they're going to be there. So it is something where I think you can still probably buy low because the season-long numbers look bad, but the window is closing pretty fast.
The A's are amazing.
Yeah,
it's just they really are. Every year, they just somehow find a way to get it done. Zach Wheeler did not find a way to get it done yesterday. 3 innings, 3 runs against the Nats, and Andrew Heaney, 5 runs against the Giants there. So your thoughts on Zach Wheeler in this one?
I'm just throwing it out. The guy has to be allowed to have a poor start, right? He struggled right from the get-go. He had a really long first inning. He was pushing 40 pitches and just didn't have it. So, I drop him for anybody who's on the wire. Right? No, I would just, I would not, I'm not letting this factor in at all. One bad start, no big deal.
All right. I know everybody was so upset and I can understand why. Ketel Marte yesterday rounding first base, injured, re-injured that left hamstring. You could see
Wait, was it the same one, by the way, or was, I thought he injured his right hamstring the first time and this was right. his other hamstring.
Is it the other? No, you're right. It is the other one now.
Is it? Either way, it's not, it's just not good. It's just not good. It's just not good.
So, I mean, so he's done. Max Fried, we already mentioned, to the IL with the blister. Marcus Stroman was removed from his start early with the hip soreness. The Mets do not need this.
Oh, my God.
We talked about four outcome games. There was an outcome for you.
Yeah.
Right? Marcus Stroman leaving that start early. Dan Vogelbach, my guess is
Did you see that, by the way? Did you see
it? I did. And then there's big old Dan Vogelbach hopping his way to home plate.
And the catcher and the pitcher who's backing up are screaming at the out, like, get the ball in, get the ball in. He can't move. And the Diamondbacks are just not even paying attention.
Yeah, that's bad. They're still drunk on that one win. Justin Upton left with lower back tightness. Mookie Betts was out with an illness. And George Springer and Luke Voit returned. And Voit, of course, hit the home run, which we talked about. I told you I had inside information with the at-bats sent to me. And if you listened, you had him in your lineup. Also today, you get Michael Conforto and Danny Duffy coming back. So hooray for returns. Let's talk about the home run calls yesterday. KONSD called Wander Franco last night and is now tied with me and Dinger Dan at seven. Wow. Congratulations. I'm mad. I should have picked Wander yesterday.
Yeah.
That would have been the thing to do. That pretty neat. And Jay Huang each got on the board too with their first correct home run calls. Congratulations. Dr. Glenn, of course, still at the top. Wonky Penguin at nine, then the three of us at seven. So before we get to the DFS, I want to remind everybody, go out there and get your Lawnmower 4.0 from Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com. The new Lawnmower 4.0. It's hot foil, black chrome stamped. It's got the longest battery life in the history of batteries. It's got the shiniest light ever, so you can manscape yourself in the dark. It's also got the travel lock, so nobody thinks that you're carrying a bomb in your suitcase when you're going through security. That can be awkward sometimes. Security opens up, says, what is this incredible tool in here? Is this a weapon of mass destruction? You say, no, it's a weapon of mass manscaping. That's what it is. Go to manscaped.com, 20% off, free shipping on us with the code LEADINGOFF. Again, that code is LEADINGOFF, manscaped.com. Your balls and airport security. TSA. Well, thank you. All right. So let's get to the slate today. Got seven games out there. Not a lot of cash arms. It's not a cash heavy arm slate tonight, as they say in the business. Yeah. A lot of secondary guys. Not a lot of people you feel super comfortable with, depending on the matchup. Trevor Bauer, 11K, 10.5. I know Dan's fascinated to see another Trevor Bauer start. You know, I'm sure he's when Trevor Bauer gets searched. Oh, Lord. I want to see that so much. I hope that happens tonight. I hope they search him every 5 minutes because that is going to be very entertaining. Jose Urquidy, 8.5, 8.1 on DK. On FanDuel, Rich Hill is just 6.9. But again, it's because the five innings issue. Joe Musgrove going against Trevor Bauer, 7.9 on FanDuel is cheap. If you want to go Oppo Taco, you can. 9.5 on DK, too expensive to do that. Danny Duffy in his return, this is tough, which brings me to pick a side. Because in the four outcome game, we got Robbie Ray, who's 11K over on FanDuel, 9.2 on DK, against Trevor Rogers, who is 9.4 and 9.8. I think Robbie Ray on DK at 9.2. And I think Trevor Rogers and FanDuel would be my approach tonight if you're not going Trevor Bauer. Because it's kind of a messy pitching slate with the way they're all kind of configured against each other, some of them, and also the matchups and what you have. What are your thoughts on the pitching tonight?
Yeah, it's kind of ugly. It's weird. It's not a great way to be. Ray, I think you probably have it right with Ray on DK and Rogers on FanDuel for sure. But I don't really feel that great about either one of them. And then you've got Bauer and Musgrove. I might be looking at Urquidy here, Joe. I really might be against the Orioles. He's been every Astros starter. If you are a starter for the Astros, you have been great lately. So I might go there. But, man, it is a rough pitching slate just because, again, the way you mentioned it, the way the matchups kind of fall, is that a lot of these guys are going against each other. So I do think I'm not going at for 11K on FanDuel. I'm not going with Ray. I'd rather go with Rodgers. But on DK, I probably would with him. And I think I'm just going to watch that Dodgers-Padres game just for the entertainment value of it and probably stay away from it in DFS personally.
I don't remember Mart's Mimic commenting much, but this is very funny. The 4.0 is the Wander Franco issue.
Very well done.
Well done. Mark's Mimic, more out of you. I like that. Yeah. I think that's what we want. All right, let's move on to some of the hitters tonight. If you're going to game stack, Oakland and Texas, I think, is the way to do it. Pretty affordable. Matt Olson, Chapman heating up. You got those guys in that lineup. The other side's got some pop with some of those guys there. You take a shot. Robbie Ray, we already talked about him. And going through that. So let's talk about the FanDuel hitters. Hunter Renfroe, 2.7. Wander Franco is still 2.5 on FanDuel. Austin Riley at 2.8. Michael Conforto in his return at 2.5. Don't be afraid to use the good hitters on their way back for their first starts, too. Luke Voit, 2.5 as well on FanDuel. On DraftKings, Ryan O'Hearn, been quietly solid. You know, lefty bat in Yankee Stadium going against King tonight. He's just 2.0. He's in the middle of that lineup. Look at the game log, last couple games. Ryan O'Hearn's been hitting the baseball. Michael Conforto, 3.5, and Dan. DraftKings, come on, bro. 2.0 for Wander Franco. Free square Wander Franco is going to be 98% rostered, and he should be. That's what happens. Also for tonight, you get a Met making his Major League debut, and his name isn't Tyler, and it's not Taylor, it's Tylor. And it's Tyler McGill, and I know it's Tyler, but it's T-Y-L-O-R. It's spelled weird, and it's spelled weird enough that tonight my home run call is going to be Ronald Acuna. Ooh. Just because I don't like the way Tyler McGill spells his name. So Ronald Acuna taking Tyler or somebody in the Mets bullpen. I'm also looking at this as the Mets bullpen got taxed yesterday because of the Stroman start. You got a young guy making his debut, what, 4 or 5 innings probably?
Yeah.
It's Ron Acuna is going to get some opportunity somewhere. So that's my dude tonight. Who are you calling your shot with, Dan?
I am going to go with Matt Olson again.
That was my second.
It's funny, Joe. When I made my home run call and I assumed that you had already, I was like, I guarantee you, I feel like Joe's taking Matt Olson.
I left you Olson today, but I was like, Tyler. What a stupid name that.
I will take Olson against Mike Foltynewicz because, you know, if you can pick on Mike Foltynewicz, you do it, and the wind is blowing out, of course. I will, by the way, say we didn't mention James Kaprielian. I like him also as an option tonight, and somebody was mentioning it in the chat. He is, I think, 9 on FanDuel. But again, against the Rangers, Frankie Montas start aside, I feel like, you know, he's pitched pretty well of late. I don't mind him either in DFS.
Yeah, 8.4, I can understand. Look, the last couple starts in terms of strikeouts, 6, 7, and 7. So the strikeouts have come up. With Kaprielian early on, you were seeing like those 4 strikeouts, 3, like that's not enough to get it done. I'll tell you what, as a secondary arm on DK, I like it more at 8.4 than I do as a standalone on FanDuel. I don't think it's enough on FanDuel, even in the matchup. Personally, it's just a little wonky there. But, you know, then again, it is a very good, you know, potential matchup against Foltynewicz. But it's baseball. We've gotten burned a bunch of those times before. Well, my goodness, we've missed Dan Harris.
We've lost Dan's. I got a notification that my camera, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right.
Look what you've done to the box. I've got to go all the way over here. This is classic leading off. This is why you subscribe right now to the show. I now have to do the show completely leaning over this way.
Oh,
but you can see my belt here where Dan Harris's face used to be. This is
it's an improvement. Not going to lie. I know it says my browser has lost connection to my camera. Yes, I have the right camera selected. How dare you?
Well, it doesn't matter because we're at the end of the show anyway. But I just want to tell everybody, this is why you subscribe to Leading Off on YouTube. Go to Fantasy Pros MLB right now. This is the promo because you get moments like this. Live theater. You think Max Scherzer is entertaining? Oh, we are more so. There's Dan Harris back. Hilarious bloopers. Dr. Glenn, this whole show is a giant blooper. Have you not realized this whole show is one running blooper? But we're professionals. We cannot... I did enjoy doing the show on the side for a
little bit. You should do that every time.
Hey, up, girl.
Sorry, guy. Hey.
Also, as a reminder, now that Dan's back, I mean, we're really going to close it out there, but you're back now.
Sorry about
Shohei Ohtani autograph ball go leave a review on Apple Podcasts or CastBox, screenshot it, go immediately to fantasypros.com/MLB contest, upload the screenshot you took of the review, fill out the form. You're going to win an Ohtani baseball. Somebody out there is going to get it. It's going to be amazing. And yes, Rob, you are correct. That's right. The Rick Funko Pop. And I'm so happy because I finally got to watch season 5, episode 1 of Rick and Morty last night. And it did not disappoint. I also watched Solar Opposites too over the last few months, which is very funny. If you like Rick and Morty, Solar Opposites, also very good. Dan, have you caught up on Loki since we're talking about TV? I'm just
curious. Of course. Loki is almost an, well, not today's episode, of course.
No,
But yeah, children. Don't worry.
You can't do anything the same day. I mean, come on.
The way we do it in the Harris household is that mom and dad have to watch the episode in advance to let them know if there's going to be anything overly scary. And then after that, they watch it over the weekend. It is an outstanding show. I definitely think I like it even more than the kids do. But man, I look forward to it. I get giddy on Wednesdays for sure.
And yes, before we close out, we've given Dr. Glenn a lot of crap. I just want to show him some love. Yes, Dr. Glenn, you're correct. This is Eric Cartman from the whole, it's the, you know, the Fellowship of the Lord of the Rings kind of thing. And I've got the entire set actually. From the Black Friday trilogy of all of the characters. So that's what's behind me there. So Dr. Glenn, look, we're friends again, even though you're beating us in the home run thing. So way to go there, Dr. G. Now he's Dr. G. Now I really like Doc. Until he gets another home run call tonight and then I'm mad at him again. All right, that'll do it for us. We hope you enjoy the bloopers and the baseball. Somewhere in between, there was real stuff going on. So that's it for us. But of course, we'll be back again tomorrow, hopefully both of us. For Dan Harris, I'm Joe Pisapia. We'll see you next time, kids.